Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, because we have the Word of God today. We have the truth today, and it is available, just exactly as Jesus Christ has prophesied, that the gospel would be published in all the world for a witness before the end comes. That is happening right now. There are almost as many Bibles in the world as there are people. And disproportionately in America, we have more Bibles than anywhere on earth. And yet, we use it and abuse it, profess belief in it, but follow our own ways. And that's a conundrum to try and understand. How can such a contradiction exist? Well, it's because men want their own religion. They don't want to come to God His way. That's why we're doing this series that we've been doing, Who is the Real Jesus Christ? Now, we've covered some very important things for you to understand. Now, I'm again going to recommend some books that you can get. Now, it's important that you get the book, A Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? Now, in there, you are going to find that every day that is kept by the so-called Christian world today comes from paganism and the occult. Now, you might say, oh, what a condemnation that is. That's a strong statement, isn't it? But have you ever proved it? Have you ever had all that proof together in one place? Well, we do in this book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days. Now, some people got afraid when they saw this skull on the cover of the book, but there's also the tablet symbolizing the Ten Commandments of God. The way of life through God's way, the way of death through Satan and man's way. Now, you need this book to really understand what the truth is all about concerning the occultism of the holidays of this world and the true meaning of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day. And you may have never heard of those things, but we're going to see as we're going through this, we're coming to a section where Jesus taught during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is to be kept. All the holy days of God are to be kept. And they reveal to us the outline of the plan of God, and then all the scriptures pertaining to it give us the spiritual in-depth understanding of these fantastic and marvelous days. Whereas in the world, the truth of God is buried under avalanches of traditions of men, the sleight of hand of men, to bring in pagan doctrines, pagan teachings, put a Christian name on it, and say, oh, this is all right to do. But it isn't. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Only the ones who practice the will of the Father, who is in heaven. Are you practicing the word of the Father? Do you know the word of the Father? That's why Jesus kept saying all the way through the Gospel of John, what I'm saying to you, he related to the people, is that it's not of myself. It doesn't come from me. But what the Father taught me to say, what I saw him do, what he commanded me to do, what he commanded me to say, this is what I preach and teach. That's why we have the Gospel of John. Now, since when John was canonizing the New Testament, it was anathema to be keeping what the people considered the holidays or holy days of the Jews. Now, they're not. The Jews have the framework of them, But the New Testament and the Word of God combined with the Old Testament teaches us the full meaning of these days. As the Jews keep them, they have little or no understanding at all. And so in order to be sure and get the teaching concerning Jesus' teaching during the Feast of Tabernacles, in order to get it by those who would be hateful to the Word of God, and for the world to understand that the only ones who were keeping these feasts of God were, number one, the Jews, and number two, the Church of God. So he starts out here, John 7 and verse 2, "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was near," and Protestants look at that and say, "Oh, well, that's for the Jews only." Well, if it was, why did Jesus go? And if it was, why did Jesus command his mother and his brothers to go up to the feast? Then someone's going to say, well, he didn't go up to the feast yet. But he did go to the feast. He went in secret because he knew they were looking for him. And he knew that it was not time for him to be arrested. So about the middle of the feast, when all the people were wondering and debating, will he come? Will Jesus come? Because he was there at all the feast, remember? Wonder what they're going to do. The authorities are looking for him to kill him. What's going to happen? Will he really show himself? And they were debating. Is he the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he a good man? Or as the scribes and Pharisees said, demon-possessed, of the devil. Typical of those who don't want the truth, isn't it? And in politics, the saying is, kill the messenger. Well, what did they do to Jesus? They killed the messenger. What did they do to John the Baptist? They killed the messenger. Did they not? Because there was no room for the Word of God in their lives. And these were the ones who were supposed to be teaching the Word of God to the people. But oh no, we cannot have anyone going against our traditions. So let's come to verse 14 of John the 7th chapter, and let's see what happened. But then about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and was teaching, and the Jews were amazed, saying, how does this man know letters having never been schooled? Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? And they said the same thing later of the apostles. Well, these men, how can they know anything? They don't belong to our elite organizations and our rabbinical schools, and they don't have our degrees. How can these men know anything? How can Jesus know anything? Well, we already saw in Isaiah the 50th chapter how Jesus was taught. He was awakened every morning by the Father and taught, and he saw the Father. Then by the time he was 12 years old and went up in the temple and was questioning the ones who were supposed to know the truth, they were amazed at his understanding of the scriptures. They were amazed at the wisdom that he had at 12 years old. Now notice what Jesus said. My doctrine is not my own, but his who sent me. Now doctrine is another word meaning teachings. And we need doctrine. And we need truth, that is, the true doctrines of the teachings of Jesus Christ and what we find in the Bible. Now, here's a key. Do you want to understand the Bible? Well, a lot of people say yes. But why is it that the scholars in the seminaries don't understand? Because they limit God. And they have to be politically and seminarially correct. And religiously correct according to the denomination that they belong to. And in Protestant denominations, you cannot be a teacher unless you believe in the Trinity, which is not found in the Bible. You can't be on staff. Really? Well, what do you think it would have been if Jesus would have gone to a rabbinic school to hear their lies about the traditions that they follow, to hear their false interpretations of the scriptures? No, God the Father did not leave it to lying rabbis and lying teachers to teach Jesus what he was supposed to do. God the Father personally taught him. That's why his doctrine was not his own, but what the Father had sent. Verse 17 is a key. Do you desire to do this? If anyone desires to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own self. Do you grasp what that is telling you? Now let's apply it to the teachings of religious men today. Regardless of the title and office that they hold, regardless of whether he is called a pope or a cardinal or a bishop or a priest or an evangelist or an apostle, titles are meaningless. Traditions are meaningless. It's what is the word of God. Now notice verse 18. The one who speaks of himself is seeking his own glory. Now, does that not label all of the religious teachers in the world, even the Christian teachers, because they only teach the part of the scriptures that they agree with and reject the others? But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He's talking of himself. No unrighteousness in Jesus Christ. The word of God is true. The laws of God are true. The commandments of God are true. The precepts of God are true. And they're true from the beginning and remain true today. Verse 19, very interesting. I want you to think about this verse, and I want you to think about to whom he is speaking. He is speaking to the religious leaders and the people. And the religious leaders say, oh, we follow Moses. And remember, there are two laws of Moses. The real one being the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the fake one, which is the rabbinical Judaism, and their version of the law of Moses, because they declare all of their accepted traditions to be the law of Moses, and God is bound by the rabbis. So the rabbis set themselves above God. That's why you need this book, Judaism, a Revelation of God or a Religion of Men. You need to understand that truth. And that applies to all the Christian religions of the world with their traditions and all of the other religions of the world and their traditions. And when you ask them about things that they do, they will say, well, it's our tradition. And that's correct. It is theirs. It's not God. And you don't come to God your way. You come to God his way. Notice verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and not one of you is practicing the law? Why do you seek to kill me? I want you to think on that verse. They were professing Moses, but were not keeping the law of Moses. They were professing God, but not believing his word. They were professing that they wanted to know the truth, and they were rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, all you have to do is look out in the world and see how true that is today. And he said this right during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, notice they ridiculed him. The people answered and said, "You have a demon who's seeking to kill you." Yes. Discredit the messenger. Besmirch and befoul him. Let's go on. Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you were all amazed." Now notice how they applied the law of Moses, which was a true thing to do here. But let's see what Jesus said. "Now then, Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and on the Sabbath day you circumcise a man." And Jesus was born on the Sabbath. A weekly Sabbath and a high Sabbath in 5 BC. So therefore, when it talks about in Luke, the first chapter, that he was circumcised on the Sabbath day. Interesting, huh? Okay. "If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man entirely whole on the Sabbath?" You see, people's thoughts and their logic and their emotional reactions, just like it is today, they're illogical. They don't make sense. And they're all led and inspired by the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. That's why there are so many lies. It's just like the world is covered with a net of lies. And everyone is entrapped in this. And they don't know how to get out of it. Well, I'm going to tell you, the prophecies show that the net is going to be closed closer and closer and closer and closer. Now, you go to cbcg.org and you download the sermon, The Advancement Toward the Mark of the Beast and the Coming One World Religion. It's coming just exactly as the Bible has predicted, which is the Word of God. And what are you going to do? Are you going to do like most people do and wait until the last minute? And then say, "God, God, where are you? Where are you, God?" And the answer is going to be, "I've been trying to get your attention for years, but you won't listen." So, what will you do? So then Jesus said here, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Do you know what righteous judgment is? How do you make righteous judgment unless you use the laws of God? That's why if you go back and study Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments, then 21, 22, and 23, you will see that all of those statutes and ordinances that were given are based on the Ten Commandments and had to do with how to make righteous judgment when people sin against other people. Now go to our segments that we have on God's criminal justice system. Watch those two video segments that we did. It will blow your mind. It's amazing. We could have that system here in America if we could use the Bible as the standard of law. But oh no, we got to get rid of God. We've got to kick him out of the government, kick him out of the schools, kick him out of the churches, and we have Christianity without God today. And that's exactly where all of this falls today. Just like here. Well, they were keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, but how were they keeping it? In spirit and in truth? No. Now, there was a special ceremony that took place on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, right as the day was ending at sunset. They had the ceremony of water that they would pour around the altar of God. And so, on the last great day, which is the eighth day after the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, because the 2 days overlap there at sunset, Jesus came and revealed a very profound thing. Because when we get in, and I'll do a series on the meaning of the holy days, and when we get to the last great day, that is going to be a mind blower for you. But here on the last great day, verse 37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and called out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, not the emotional response that people want to put in place of the word of God. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now that's symbolic, as we will see, interpreted here in the next few verses, of the Holy Spirit of God. We are to have the Holy Spirit of God impregnated in the spirit of our mind. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to understand the Word of God through the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus was saying here. It's a greater and an important lesson. And the whole meaning of the last great day answers the question, what happens to all of those people that God never called? Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which those who believed in him would soon receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, after hearing these words, people said, oh, this is the prophet, meaning the one back there spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. And the guards came back, and they told the priest and the Pharisees, now, we never heard anybody speak like this. Why would we arrest them? So notice the response of the Pharisees. Verse 47. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also being deceived? Has even one of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? The elite. No. Today, they have the same thing. Oh, well, he never went to Yale. Oh, he never went to Cambridge. Oh, he never went to the Dallas Theological Seminary. Oh, he was not taught in our colleges. Where did he get off with all of these things? If he's not one of us elite, ha, 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 how can he be from God? Because we are from God. But the question is, which one? The God of heaven or the God of this world? Now notice how they looked upon the people, the scum, the plebeians, the common man. But these people who do not know the law are accursed. And when they talk about the law, it's not the law of God. Their version of the law of Moses. And that's how the religious elite look upon the common person. This is why Jesus preached to the common man. This is why when the first translator of the Greek New Testament into English, William Tyndale, and I'll have something to say about him in some of the segments later, he said that he wanted the plowboy to know more of the Word of God than the Pope. And that's why he translated the New Testament as led by the Spirit of God to do it. The elite didn't do it. The Catholic Church didn't do it. The Protestant churches didn't do it. No, one man, William Tyndale, called of God, just exactly like the Apostle Paul. And 95% of what we have today is based on his original translations. Now that's something you need to know. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure to go to our other website, cbcg.org, and download the sermons that we have there. We have many things. If you really are hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, you're going to find all of those sermons accounting for the Word of God, and they are there. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.